pipes. If you got good beer, here's a little tip that I'd like to relate.
I said, man, fish bites. If you got good bait,
going fishing.
You going fishing?
I'm going fishing.
I'm going to do some fishing.
I know you're going fishing.
Right after this.
Yeah, all right, it's that time. Time for the fishing report, and a lot of people are spending time out on the river, the lakes. Maybe not fishing, but man, that's a popular place to be. But my buddy Leaf here spends time learning about fish, keeping track of the fish. And here we are. We're in the middle of a long, warm, hot spell.
Yes.
River levels going down. Uh-huh. River temperatures coming up.
The drought is what it's about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the drought is really a very big factor in this game right now.
Mm-hmm.
The water levels, like you said, are dropping fast and heating up. Heating up to an alarming level, really, where we're actually starting to hear word of a possible, for the first time in my life, hoot owl, or, you know, if it got bad enough, hoot owl closure, which means after 12 o'clock in the afternoon, they'd want you not to be out there on the river fishing.
Okay, because it's just too stressful for the fish, right?
Yeah. Right, and it just more or less has to do with water temperatures. If we're up there in, like, the lower 70s for a length of days, that's when we're going to start to be looking at a possible closure there.
Well, you know, I'm a little bit unfamiliar with how fast or slow the water temperature can fluctuate. I'm actually surprised that it fluctuates much.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, not that long ago, it was up at 5,000 feet. Here it is down here.
Right.
I realize it's flowing over a lot of rocks. It does get sun exposure. It's going to change a little.
But when it slows down. It gets even more time to kick, you know, to sit there and cook in the sun.
Yeah. So last time we talked to you, you were saying that temperatures were getting up into the lower 60s, maybe?
We were hitting a high, actually, of 68 degrees.
Oh, my goodness.
And the warmer parts of the river were down there by Burma. Uh-huh. You know, we had some of the scientific aides and biologists out there taking some studies as the regular daily part of their job. They're logging temperatures.
Uh-huh.
So we can see those temperatures all over the place. And usually myself and my fellow guides, a few of us will do temperatures and quite often just check just to see what mood it might put the fish in.
Yeah.
We got to, right there in the highs of the 60s, and we were holding there for a number of days during that really hot spell that we had.
Right.
But luckily, it just cooled down just enough, you know, to make a big difference. Yesterday, I went down the river with my fellow guide and buddy Kevin. We were doing a trip together, and I think he got a reading of, I believe it was 57 or 56 there in the morning.
Okay.
So it's really, you know, it came back down almost 5 to 10 degrees.
Okay.
Like overall, the morning and the morning low and the afternoon high.
Yeah, yeah. Now, see, that's interesting to me because that's more of a fluctuation than I would have guessed.
Oh, yeah.
If I was on Jeopardy and they asked me that question, I had to guess 5 degrees fluctuation or
something. You know, it's not at all weird for these, you know, since we're a high Sierra desert here.
Yeah.
Some of those desert creeks that we talked about, like in the Olvard Basin.
Right.
You know, like almost 40 degree temperature swings, you know, from day to night. So we're not quite that extreme, but you can expect to see easily, you know, a 10-degree temperature swing from the day to the night.
Yeah, and obviously, I mean, in those other drainages that you talk about that fluctuates 40 degrees, that's a very adapted fish that
absolutely
can handle that. That is not normal.
Yeah, really only that fish would thrive there. I mean, it was kind of bred out of existence by rainbows, but I'm sure you'd probably see something like you see in other cases where, there's a boom in the rainbows, but then all of a sudden they're not adapted to it and there's a big bust after a while.
Yeah.
You know, here in the Medhow, that is scary, though, because the West Slope cutthroat and our bull trout, they are not adapted to warm water. So if it gets past a point where it's just getting too warm, they're really not a happy fish. Mm-hmm. You know, they like the... Like the song says, the cold, clear water.
Yeah.
And that's what they really thrive on.
You know, this is an actual case in point. If we're looking at an upswing of global temperatures or just regional temperatures, you know, and this is the thing that bothers me about the debate about is there or isn't there
global.
There is
global. No debate, but, you know, I mean, if you're a rational person.
But I mean, in the halls of the legislatures and so on, they talk about it in a way that doesn't really look at a specific case in point for instance, these fish in this river.
Right.
That would be a tragedy to have them not be able to live here anymore.
Absolutely.
And these kinds of things have happened over time on the face of the earth. This is extinction in this drainage. That's what it would be.
Right.
And those are the type of things that are the, you know, the result of things getting warmer, things getting too warm for these fish.
Yep.
Things change. So, you know, it to me, it seems like it shouldn't even be at the discussion point anymore. It should be, what could we do about these things?
Yeah, we should be going full head of steam into the solution to the problems, you know. But then we get into weird debates like geoengineering and whatnot. So,
yeah.
But there is something I'm sure all of us could do. And, you know, one of the biggest things is just don't overuse the resources. And, when you're done using it and there's a byproduct, make sure you dispose of it in the best way you can. And if you're out there and you see something that hasn't been disposed of properly, pick it up, clean it up. You know? That's about all you can do. And if everybody just acts locally, I mean, I get blown away by the whole global scale of things. But, you know, I just try to do what I can around here, and hopefully everybody does it in their own town, you know. And so,
Well, I liked your comment last week when we were talking about river footwear, no flip-flops and...
Yeah.
No glass. There's absolutely no reason to have glass.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it'll cost you like an extra buck, a six pack or something to get some cans, but you know what? It's worth it. And then don't decorate the stream bottom with those, please, because they stick right out.
And the other thing is, aluminum's recyclable. Glass isn't around here.
Right.
So.
Yeah, there you go. See, I didn't know that one. But, you know, hey, you learn something every day. Let's learn something about fishing.
All right. What do you want? What do you got to teach, Lee?
Well, you know, I do want to, we're still kind of on that soapbox for a second, but I did see myself and had reports from, some very reliable resources that there were some dead fish, mainly after the 4th of July weekend. And I think these might have been photographed to death, is what it really looked like in most of these cases.
Oh, interesting.
Or possibly got something in them, you know, in their throat. Bait, whatever, I don't know, that they shouldn't have. You know, we had a few of them dead in the upper stretch there by Methow, and I saw one down there by Carlton, and everything was right with these fish except for the fact that they were dead. So it just looked to me like they got fought in that warm water, and they rolled over. They probably swam away for a second, you know, but this is what we got to be careful about right now. So, I mean, just be careful if you're handling these fish, just try to get them to the net. And get them back out to where they're going as quick as possible. Just don't hang out there and be dropping them in the boat, taking pictures, and holding them out in this hot air.
Good point.
If you're going to take a picture, try to do it in the water. If it comes out, do 1, 2, 3, click, bang, back into the water. Don't be hanging out, hugging it.
And actually probably observing these hoot owl hours, which is basically early, stay off in the middle, and come back late if you want. But when the water's cool.
Right.
You know, we can observe that even though it's not official rules right now.
Exactly. Absolutely. And we've been talking about it for, what, 2 or 3 weeks now that we should maybe take even a voluntary hoot owl or just time off of the river here towards the end of this month. Right now, like I say, that slightly cooler air saved us for now. But I think everybody should really pay attention. If we have a streak of, like, 3 or 4 of these 100-degree days or better again, it's going to put us right back up into that. And still, midday right now is not the best time of the day for these fish. So, right now is a good time to be careful. I think you could still be fishing, but you have to be conscientious about how you're handling the fish.
Okay.
But, you know, like I say, there again, maybe start plotting some backpacking trips. That's what I'm doing.
That's what I was going to bring up now. So a good alternative is some high country lakes.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, on my list, I don't mind sharing a couple because, you know, maybe I challenge you to get up there and hopefully I'll see you there too. Duffy Lake shouldn't be a super easy one because the first part of the old trail is a grown over old logging road where the bridge has washed out and it was just never repaired. I myself don't really know how to get there very well, but I had a friend of mine here in town. She said she'd draw me a map, and she made it in there with her man friends this year, and they were successful, and she's done it a few times. So I trust her. You know, last year, Thomas and I started out towards that one and ended up at the Golden Trout Lake as a plan B, which was a wonderful plan B,
but
I'd still like to make it to Duffy because those fish were looking great in their photographs.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and what we're saying is this is an alternative to fishing the river, which is getting just chancy for the fish. Go up. The air's cooler. The lakes are great. The fish are not being stressed by this weather.
Yeah.
And plus, you've got a great adventure on your hands.
Yeah, so I'd throw out a shorter one or two there with the Tiffany's. Lower one's a piece of cake. It's a long, bumpy drive in there. But Great fun, those two lakes. The second one is about 2 miles above it through the bushes, mm-hmm. and you just look on a green trails map, and you can find your way there. It's, yeah. it's not too bad. It's a fun challenge. And then maybe for another 6 miler with a trail the whole way, check mm-hmm. out Lewis up the Twist River there.
Okay.
You start up the South Creek Trail, and then you hang a left up there just a little ways up it, and that's a beautiful lake with lots of cutthroat and okay. you know, just great scenery.
Okay. That's probably an old stomping ground of yours.
Yeah, you betcha. I love the Twist River drainage, just, well, and the Chewuk, but I've just cracked into that one. There's a lot yeah. up there.
All right. Leaf.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming in, man.
You betcha. Tell them to go fishing.
Yeah, and, tell them how to get hold of you.
Yeah, if you need any info, just check out flyfishersproshop.com at How Fishing Adventures keeps our blog up to date. We keep our podcast of this program up to date with Kay Root. And if you need any info on booking a trip or some fishing tips, just call 509-429-7298, and we'll get you out on the water having fun getting your fish on.
Many fish bites if you got good bait. Here's a little tip that I would like to relate. I said, many fish bites if you got good bait. I'm going fishing. My mama going fishing. Baby going fishing too.